This is Street Knowledge with Chris Graham.
Welcome to the podcast. Chris Graham going solo here on a Monday. I'm busy working. Jerry Ratcliffe and I and Zach Peerless and Scott Ratcliffe, Scott German, we're all busy working on the book Team of Destiny about the UVA basketball national championship run. But we had some breaking news pop up today that we had to address. And it wasn't the draft announcement that we'd expected first, at least. The talk had been all along, of course, we've known all along, DeAndre Hunter as a projected top five pick in a lot of drafts, at least top 10, nowhere outside of the top 10 in the NBA draft for 2019. We've been expecting for quite a while that we'll hear DeAndre Hunter's name soon. But Ty Jerome beat him to the punch. Ty Jerome, the junior whose name is popping up in a lot more first rounds, later first round, 20 and below, some second rounds in mock drafts. But Ty announcing today on Instagram, right around 11 o'clock, I'm recording this after 1 o'clock on Monday, Ty announcing on his Instagram page with a nice, slickly produced video. I have to assume, not knowing for sure, but I have to assume there was effort there on the part of UVA Athletics to help with that, to produce a really nice video where Ty announced his decision that he's going to go in the NBA draft. And it's not how I expected in one sense. I've been saying for a few days now that my expectation was that Ty would test the draft waters, and I was not surprised in that sense, but that he might leave a door open to come back because of being a guy that's either a late first round, early second round pick. And I've even seen his name as low as mid to late 40s in some mock drafts. Not that those are authoritative in any way, shape, or form, but just, you know, that this what we're talking about now, these avenues of comparison. So if he's a second-round pick, you know, maybe he decides to come back. And if there's a consensus from NBA teams he'd be a second-round pick, maybe he'd leave the door to come back. But that does not seem to be the case. And actually, my thinking on this has started evolving Saturday. Those who either watched the national championship celebration at Scott Stadium on streaming on ESPN.com or the 20,000-plus of us that were there, Dave Kane, who was the master of ceremonies for that event, actually asked Ty how he would like to be remembered. And the fact that the question was even asked the way it was signaled that there was something inside. Hey, we know something's getting ready to change here in terms of Ty's status. And then when the crowd started chanting one more year, and Ty got a big smile on his face but didn't commit one way or the other, that was also a big sign that Ty was going in this direction. And he signaled that he'll hire an agent. That does not guarantee that he can't come back, but again, he's pretty clearly, not pretty clearly, he's clearly out the door foregoing his senior season. In fact, he used those words in his Instagram post that he's foregoing his senior season. And we'll be testing the NBA draft waters in that sense. And so when I say testing the waters, I don't mean it in the sense I meant earlier. He's going to be in the NBA draft. Now the question is, what is his, well, what's his stock and what's his status? And so Zach Peerless and I both did some breakdowns on this, and I'll go through my thinking here. I was going to try to get Zach one, but we're just doing a quick podcast. We're all working on the book, so that's the most important thing right now. You know, Ty, looking at Ty and his NBA prospects, the counting numbers all look good. He's coming, his stock in the counting number sense cannot be higher. He just won an NCAA tournament championship, point guard for the NCAA tournament championship winner. And so that's what it is. He averaged 16.5 points, 6.0 assists in the NCAA tournament. He had 16 points and 8 assists in the title game. Of course, famously the assist on the basket by DeAndre Hunter that tied the game and sent it to overtime on a play that was a classic Ty Jerome play. He beat his man on the left side of the court into the lane. He drew two defenders. He kicked it out to an open shooter for a three. That was the classic Ty Jerome play this year, the last couple of years in his time at UVA, a sort of a wrinkle that Tony Bennett inserted in the offense this year, that when the offense would bog down, the mover blocker, even the continuity ball screen offense would bog down, sort of just a clear out, if you want to call it that, a clear out where Jerome either had the option, if he beat his man, to shoot the little teardrop that he was so good at, or if he drew help defense from the post, then he could kick it out for either a cutter in the lane or to that spot in the right corner for the three. We saw Kyle Guy make a number of those threes this year. And so that's that was a bread and butter play, especially late game big situations for EVA from the offense this year. Again, a wrinkle that was kind of just added this year and really taking advantage of Ty's skill set there. So that's all what it is. We all knew that. And you know, if you're thinking what can he do if he comes back, what would he do in his senior season? One issue that is brought up when you talk about Ty Jerome from the scouting standpoint is he's not the quickest, most athletic point guard. He's 6'5", and you can't teach 6'5". I'm kind of using the Enzo and Cass from WWE days. You know, he's 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that. You can't teach 6'5" for a point guard. And he played in the ACC, and he just won a national championship. He played point against some of the best point guards in college basketball on a regular basis the last couple of years. He won 66 games. He was 66-6 as a point guard the last 2 years. I think the 6'5 actually can help overcome the lack of athleticism. Most guards in the NBA, point guards in the NBA, are smaller. You think of the Steph Currys, the Trae Youngs, between 6 feet, 6 feet two. They're quicker, but a guy like him, at 6'5", that's 6'5", you can see over those guys, and so maybe that can take that disadvantage away with the advantage of your 6'5". My eyes tell me that he gets in the lane well, and I love the teardrop jumper, that little bank shot that he would make from between 5 and 7, 8 feet. But what the eyes tell you and what the numbers tell you, a little different. I'm a devotee of the website hoop-math.com. And according to hoopmath.com, only 18.8% of Jerome shots in 2018-2019 were at the rim. Now, at the rim doesn't count those 5 to 7 footers that I think he's really good at. But when you look at when you're breaking down, especially a point guard, and you're trying to figure out how much does he get in the lane, that's one metric. That's one of the best metrics we have. It's not a perfect metric, but it is one of the best metrics we have to determine. So 18.8% of his shots. There was only one point guard. I looked at several mock drafts, and I collected a number of names of guys who are projected to go in either the first or second round. And of the, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, of the 10 point guards, including Jerome, he was ninth in the number of his shots being at the rim. Only one, Mekhi Mason from Baylor, below him at 13.9%. Kobe White was close, 22.5%. And then the rest, John Morant, Cassius Winston, Chris Clemens from Campbell. We almost got to see if Campbell had held serve and won the Big South tournament. But Chris Clemens and Campbell, Darius Garland from Vanderbilt only played 5 games, got injured, and he's a one and done, 5 games and one and done. Kai Bowman from Boston College, guy we know well. Jalen Noel from Washington. Carson Edwards from Purdue, a guy we know well now because of the Elite Eight. All those guys were above 27%. In fact, John Morant, Murray State, 53%. You have to wonder how much of a factor, playing Murray State basketball all season long, playing in that conference, may have factored into why he's at 53.1 and Cassius Winston is number two at 30.9. Jerome Robinson, I didn't look his number up, but Jerome Robinson, the Virginia Tech point guard, Justin Robinson. Jerome Robinson was the Boston College kid from a couple years ago. Justin Robinson, the Virginia Tech point guard. I'm going to pull his numbers up here real quick. I remember doing a story about this a few weeks ago. Justin Robinson, I'm kind of filibustering here while I look. Robinson, 43.8% of his shots were at the rim. So he's not being talked about as an NBA player. I happen to think he's a pretty good little point guard, the Robinson kid from Virginia Tech. But Ty, that number doesn't, signal a lot in terms of his ability to get to the lane. I think, again, the 6'5", he doesn't have to get to the rim, unlike a guy who's 4 or 5 inches shorter than he is, because he can see over other point guards with his height. So I think that's a help. And I thought about this when I was writing my column. And I thought about a comparison point guard. I was trying to think, who would this be? Who would it be if I could say, that there's a guy out there that he's like? And the one I came down to was Sean Livingston from Golden State. And when you start thinking about it, now that I'm saying this, you might actually think, it's not so bad. Sean Livingston, 15 years in the NBA, 15 years and counting, though. He's going through some injury issues right now. There's talk that this might be the last year for him. Livingston, if you might remember, you might not, 15 years ago, he originally committed to Duke out of high school, decided to just go straight to the NBA back when you could do that. He's 6'7", and he's a backup point guard for Golden State, which is interesting because Steph Curry, at like, what, 6'1", is a starting point guard. And so they're very different, obviously. I mean, you know, Curry's the marksman who shoots from 30, 40 feet, you know, runs off screens and just pulls trigger a lot of his own shots off the dribble, just creating shots for himself from places that nobody until Curry started, you know, doing this 4 or 5 years ago, but even thought about shooting. Trae Young now plays in his tradition, and you're starting to see some more point guards play this way. Jerome plays a lot like Livingston. Livingston's a guy that uses his size to back down smaller point guards or just shoot over top of them or see over top of them to set up teammates for shots. And Livingston's had a great career in the NBA, 15-year and counting career. I kind of see Jerome as that kind of guy. And when you start thinking about this, you know, seeing him in a lot of mock drafts late first round, the teams who pick late first round are playoff teams. So that's why they're picking late first round. You know, there's certainly the possibility you could have acquired a pick via trade. But for the most part, those teams between 20 and in the low 30s are those teams that again, are NBA playoff teams. And they're not looking for a guy to come right in and take over the program and build around. They're looking for a guy to be a complement because they're already playoff teams and they want to continue to be playoff teams. They want to be a better playoff team. The fact that Golden State might need to look at its Sean Livingston in the future could bode well for a guy like Ty Jerome. I'm seeing a Boston associated with his name. So San Antonio would be an interesting place for a guy with Ty Jerome's basketball IQ to end up. You know, anybody that comes from Virginia is going to be regarded for their basketball IQ, their ability to play defense, their ability to play a team game. That's something that's going to be a big factor for guys like Ty Jerome, DeAndre Hunter. And so I like Ty's chances. I mean, I like him as an NBA player. I don't know what coming back for a year would have done. You know, if the questions are, and they are, his quickness and athleticism, he's not going to get quicker and more athletic in a year. You pretty much are what you are. He's definitely improved physically since arriving at UVA. His last year of high school, he actually had hip surgery, double hip surgery. And so I don't know if he played any of his senior year of high school. If he did, he played a limited time in senior year of high school, recovering from that. You could kind of tell his first year at UVA, he was still a little stiff from that, it felt like. But he's overcome that. And you know, Mike Curtis, the strength program at UVA, has really, really been a boon for him. And so one more year is just one more year. From Todd's standpoint, from his stock standpoint, his draft stock standpoint, he could only go down. He's not going to get stronger and quicker. He's now a champion. If he's a two-time champion, what does that do from the intangible standpoint? I can't imagine he's going to get better offensively or defensively one more year of college. So the concern is if something happens between now and the draft, which I think is June 20th, if something happens between now and them and his stock is no longer late first round stock, but it's second round stock, it's even mid second round stock. You know, first round contracts are guaranteed, second round contracts are not. Now UVA's got two guys in the form of Malcolm Brogdon and Joe Harris who are doing well as second round picks. Malcolm Brogdon famously won the Rookie of the Year as a second round pick, and then which tells you 30 teams missed on the Rookie of the Year. And he's injured right this second, but he's a key cog on a team, the Milwaukee Bucks, expected to be a finals contender this year. Joe Harris is a playoff on a playoff team with the Brooklyn Nets, and boy, you know, that's that team that was put together not thinking that this year would be a playoff team, and they're up as we're talking right now 1-0 in their first round playoff series with Philadelphia. And Joe Harris is a starting player for them, signed a 2-year, $16 million contract after bouncing around a little bit for his first couple of years in the NBA. So second-round guys can prove themselves. It's not like you can't. But then there's also issues. I mean, second-round guys also can not prove themselves or have a chance to prove themselves. Look at Devin Hall, who finished his eligibility at UVA. So, he graduated. He was at UVA for 5 years. And Hall was a second-round pick last year. He played this year in Australia in the G League. So you can go from, you know, being a starting player on a playoff team to you know, the G League if you're a second round pick. And none of those guys, of course, none of those guys left school early. Justin Anderson did leave school early. Justin was a first round pick. He's not playing much. Of the four guys, including Justin, the first round pick's the one not playing. Well, the three guys, including Justin. I guess Mike Scott's also an NBA player, and he's a role player for, I hope I'm right on this, the Los Angeles Clippers. I think I'm right on that. It's Philadelphia now. He's been all over the place. He's made a good living in the NBA. Anderson was the first round pick of the group, and he's the guy who's playing the least, which is interesting. But it's guaranteed money, so nothing wrong with what Justin did decision wise for his future, and nothing wrong here with Ty. I happen to think I've given you the pros, I've given you the cons. I happen to think that Ty's going to be probably a late first round pick. He'll go to a team like a Golden State or a San Antonio or a Boston. And he won't be expected to come right in and start. He may surprise the team he shows up with, not Golden State if he ends up there, but he may surprise whatever, you know, late first round team, NBA playoff caliber team he shows up with. He might end up being a first guard off the bench. He may be the kind of guy that can certainly give you 15, 20 minutes off the bench. He might even start for a team if he's an early second round pick and he does end up with a team that was out of the playoffs this year. He may end up starting for a team like that and, putting some numbers up. So, but Ty's going to have a career as far as that goes. It's just a question now of how it all plays out here the next few months, but next couple of months, but he's going to be a player. As far as that goes, then I thought I'd throw in, now we're waiting on news of the other two stars of the big three from this UVA team. DeAndre Hunter is, I wrote this in my column, if he doesn't declare, we should start a change.org petition to make him do so, because he's not going to be any his stock's not going to be any higher than it is at this stage, and he's looked at as a guy that could be as high as the fifth pick in the draft. He's looked at as a guy, and I think the projections are sound here. I've been thinking of this for a while, and I read another writer this weekend, I should say, who said his skill set looks to some people like a Kawhi Leonard type skill set. And that's a big comparison. Kawhi Leonard is he's probably a top 10 player. Some people will say a top 5 NBA player right now, an NBA Finals MVP. Who earned his playing time in the league with what he could do on defense, and now is an elite scorer as well. DeAndre certainly, he's the National Defensive Player of the Year, the ACC Defensive Player of the Year. He had 27 in the national championship game. In Virginia's system, he didn't get to show his offensive skills quite as much as guys who play in a more up and down kind of a flow kind of system. But we know Drake can do that. And so, yeah, he's the kind of guy who can, he can and likely will, be picked by a team that is hoping to build around him. And I think he's the kind of guy you can build around. A 6'7" guy who can guard four positions in this NBA, in this day and age. We saw what Virginia was able to do with DeAndre on the floor. He and Braxton Key both. Being similar size guys with similar skill sets defensively, particularly, allowed Tony Bennett to be able to sub. He would sub Jay Huff or Jack Salt for Kihei Clark, because that's how flexible DeAndre particularly was defensively. You could sub a 5'9" guy for a 7'1" guy and have a solid defense out there either way. So DeAndre clearly, the only thing I'm surprised by is that he deferred today, and I'm sure there had to be talk behind the scenes. Hey, Ty, you go first, I'll go second. The question then would be, is Kyle Guy going to go? And I hate to say this, I hope he doesn't, for this reason, not for the selfish reason of I want one more year of Kyle Guy. I love Kyle Guy. He's a great interview, great kid, always got a smile on his face. Of course, he can shoot the lights out. I'm not seeing his name anywhere on mock drafts. When I questioned Ty Jerome and his decision, the last few weeks, it's because I see it anywhere from 20 to 45. I'm not seeing Kyle Guy's name at 60, the last pick of the second round, anywhere. And I hate to say that, because I think the kid's an NBA player. at the college level, he's the best player at his position, shooting guard. But at 6'2", 175, how does that translate to the NBA? That's a big question. I think the Steph Curry, Trae Young examples I gave a few minutes ago of different size point guards than Ty Jerome. Kyle's about that same size, at 6'2", 175. He can match up with the likes of a Steph Curry or Trae Young, but he's not really shown anybody that he's point guard quality. At UVA, he runs off screens and shoots. He's developed a game of late where he's the kind of guy that can certainly get in the lane and score. His numbers at the rim are comparable to Ty Jerome's. I'm gonna pull those up right now. It's not like he drives a lot, but he 15% of his shots are at the rim. He shoots 66.7% at the rim, which is actually better than Ty Jerome. And of course we know about what else he can do. His numbers in terms of what he shoots on 2-point jumpers, on unassisted 2-point jumpers, his 3-point field goal percentage, of course, all those numbers, his effective field goal percentage, by far the best on the team, even better than DeAndre Hunter's. But he's 6'2", 175, and is he going to be able? Would he be able to run off screens in the NBA and shoot threes? No, not at 6'2", 175. You have to be a ball handler at 6'2", 175 in the NBA. And again, the Steph Currys and Trae Youngs have proven that can be something of value. A guy who can be a danger from that position, shooting off the dribble and being able to catch and shoot at the point guard position. That can be and certainly is a value to NBA teams. But he hasn't shown that yet. I guess it could be argued certainly that he could go out in the next couple of months in pre-draft camps. He could go to the Portsmouth Invitational if he were to declare and get an invite there. He could show that he could play the point, but he would be doing all this without being on anybody's draft radar, it would seem. And if his name's not called, then he's an undrafted free agent. Then he's trying to play his way through summer league, play his way through a camp to get to a team, or he's playing in Australia, New Zealand, Europe, G League. Do you give up your fourth year of college for that? Whereas I could easily see a conversation between Kyle's close-knit family, those two sets of parents he has, and his soon-to-be bride, and they could sit down with Coach Bennett and say, Coach, can I be the point guard next year? I want to showcase. Can we showcase me a little bit that way? Can I try to create? Can I work all summer and into fall camp, and can we try to make me more of a creator in addition to what I already do, so I can see if that will improve my positioning for the NBA. He's an NBA player. It's just, does he have to bounce around a little bit in the under leagues to do so, or can he use one more year at UVA to prove his what we think and what I think certainly he can do, which is he can play point in the NBA and be a Steph Curry type or a Seth Curry type or a Trae Young type point guard in the NBA. Selfishly, I'd prefer he do that at UVA for 1 year than go out and play a couple years of G League ball or Australia or Europe and maybe come back here and play. I don't want him to be Curtis Staples. Curtis Staples, until Kyle Guy came along, Curtis Staples was my favorite UVA player just because, how many ever levels below YMCA and Rec League and IM ball when you're in college is from the top levels of college basketball. Me as a player, I was the guy, and still am the guy, who runs around the court. I'm a marathon runner, so I run around the court. I wear my guy out, and I shoot threes when they're exhausted. And that's all I do. I don't shoot anything inside. I make one layup a year in pickup games. When I do, they should stop the game and have an interview. Jim Nance should be there to ask me how it felt to be able to make that layup, because everything else I shoot is a three-pointer. But those guys, I love those guys, and Curtis Staples was that guy for a long time. Of course, when he left UVA, he was the all-time leader in the NCAA at that time and made threes. Now, gosh, as many threes as are shot, that record is going to be broken. So many, it already has been, but it's going to be so far beyond. But in Curtis Staples' day back in the early mid-90s, he was a forerunner of this. But he never got a sniff in the NBA, and actually Staples a little bigger than Kyle. I think Staples is 6'4", and Kyle 6'2". So I don't want Kyle to be another Curtis Staples in that sense. And I love Curtis Staples. I'm not saying anything bad about Curtis. I love Curtis. But I want Kyle. I thought Curtis should have had an NBA career too. And it didn't work out for him. And I want to see Kyle have that NBA career that Curtis couldn't have. And so I think that potential is there for him if he comes back for a year and plays point for UVA and plays some point at least for UVA, and we'll see how that goes. But that's these decisions are already in the cards. We're just opining on them all and weighing in. So want to let's wrap it up there. We'll have more news as the situation warrants this week. I would expect maybe tomorrow we'll hear about DeAndre Hunter. I'm just guessing. That's totally a guess. And I hope that we don't hear anything about Kyle Guy. But if we do hear anything, hopefully it's news that he's back for another year. And, boy, that would be odd for him, wouldn't it, though, without his running mate, Ty Jerome. And without DeAndre, those guys, it's one fun thing about the NCAA tournament as we're wrapping up the podcast here. One good thing about the NCAA tournament, UVA media relations, they don't like us doing too much with the players. We don't go in a locker room or anything like that, and it's okay. It's what it is. They bring players out to talk, sort of one or two or three on like 30, all the media members that's shouting questions at them and that kind of thing. The NCAA tournament, you get to go back there in the locker room and actually interact with them in a different way, and you get to see them interact as a result in a different way. And this was UVA fans, you're listening to this. This was a very close-knit group. I mean, it wasn't just the family on the shirt. There were a lot of teams in the tournament this year. It's a marketing thing. They wear a shirt when they go out for warm-ups. It says family on it. I felt like this was really a family. I mean, the bench guys, the walk-ons, the guys who didn't see the court at all from the Louisville game on. But they're all a family. They all ribbed each other. They were just a big group of kids who all hung out. You wouldn't be able to tell in the locker room who the stars were, except for the fact that, Kyle and Ty and DeAndre would have 30 reporters hanging around them, and the others would be sitting there texting by themselves. But when you would first walk in or when you'd leave, you'd see these guys. They're just a group of kids who all seem like best friends, And so, it would be, that would be the one thing about Kyle that would be the interesting thing would be he'd be the elder statesman. And it's odd to think of Kyle Guy as the elder statesman anywhere, considering how he comes across as everybody's kid brother in that locker room. But anyway, that's just sort of pontificating for no apparent reason. Thank you for listening to the podcast. Hope that this was helpful in some way. We're all I want to just congratulate Ty Jerome. What a great career. We'll never forget what he did, he and his teammates, but he was the point guard for this team. So thank you, Ty, for everything that you did in your time at UVA. You got us a national championship. As I'm recording this podcast right now, I'm still wearing my national championship hat. I may never take this thing off. So that's only possible because of a lot of what Ty Jerome did this year. So thank you, Ty. Good luck in the NBA, and we can't wait to report on you there. I can't wait to go see you at a game sometime in the next fall in the NBA. So look forward to that opportunity. And thank you again for listening, and we will sign off. Wahoo-wah.